Good to see everyone. Happy birthday, Brother Bobby. Thank the Lord. 75 of them. Man, that's a blessing. Surrounded by some of his family at church on Wednesday night. That's a good way to spend your 75th birthday, ain't it? Amen. The man said it's Wednesday, but Sunday's coming. Amen. Now, if you listen to a lot of folks, they'll tell you Jesus was crucified on Friday. Mm-hmm. And them bunch of lying, thieving, cheating, bunch of accountants down at the IRS can't even get 3 days and three nights out of Friday night to Sunday morning. Yeah, that's right. So you just let God be true and every man be a liar. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. John 3:16 tonight. Yeah, oh, I know that one, preach. I know. Just turn over there. Thank the Lord. I'm glad you know it. Man or woman going to know any scripture, it's going to be John 3:16 and that one about a little wine for your stomach's sake. Yeah. Every devil in the world knows them too, don't they? John 3:16 tonight. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
What I want to talk about tonight is that word gave. Mm-hmm. And the title of the message is the gift.
Amen.
Thank God for the gift. Mm-hmm. Brother D'Angelo, you pray for us, brother.
Well, God Almighty, we come before you in the midst of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you. We love you, Lord. Help us, Lord.
Preacher James, not as a preacher, Lord God, speak to our hearts. Lord, we thank you for all that's here tonight, Lord. Remember those events. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
A gift. Who doesn't like to get a gift?
Yeah.
Man, you something wrong with you if you don't like to receive a gift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we think about Christmas, and you might think about Christ first thing pops in your mind. I don't know. But near about everybody, first thing pops in your mind is a gift.
Yeah, right.
Something that sometime in the past that you have received. Or if you're a child, you think about what you're going to get, right?
Mm-hmm.
Christmas gift. Ain't that wrong with a Christmas gift? Give me something at Christmas, I'll take it. Give me something anytime, I'll take it. I like a gift. Think about your birthday. You want to receive a gift, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you're a child, you want a thing. When you get older, maybe you want to spend time with your family and have a dinner. And
yeah.
That's a gift, right? Man, thank God for a gift. Anniversary. You want to get something for your wife, for a gift, for your husband, a gift. Thank God for a gift. But the Bible says it's better to give than receive.
That's right.
And you know, it's a time in your life when you probably can't understand that. But you know, when you get a little older and you have children of your own and you give those gifts and you get to see the joy on their face, and that's the most precious gift, right? Not something you receive for yourself to consume upon your own lust. The gift. And God in this verse says that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. His only begotten son was the gift that he gave to you and I.
Amen.
And you know what? You might receive some pretty awesome gifts at some time in your life, or maybe even in the future. But there's no better gift you've ever received than the gift of Jesus Christ. That's it, man. It can't get any better. I don't care what kind of diamond he gives you, man. You may walk around with a monkey, your knuckle dragging on the ground, that rock's so heavy. It ain't as good as Jesus Christ. They don't make a car or truck on this planet that's as good as Jesus Christ. There's not a vacation home anywhere on this earth that's as good as Jesus Christ. He is the gift. He is the best gift this world's ever seen, man. For God so loved the world, he didn't give us a thing. He didn't give us possessions. God showed his love for mankind by giving us the best that he had. I thank God he didn't send Michael. I'm going to see Michael one day. I believe Michael was probably a pretty awesome spectacle. Not Michael Carter. He's pretty awesome too. Michael the Archangel. I'm going to see him one day. God didn't send him. Thank God for Gabriel, the messenger. probably all these other angels. Thank God for the Old Testament saints. We're going to see them. God didn't send them. God sent Jesus Christ. You know God always gives the best he has. We'll give sometimes, but sometimes we're a little stingy with the best we got. God gave the best he had. He sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to be a gift. I thank God for that. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Now, that whole chapter is talking about giving, how the churches were communicating and giving and helping one another and giving another need and how it was such a blessing. And he ends that chapter up, instead of talking about their giving, he speaks about God's giving. He said, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. What's that? That's salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. It is the premier, preeminent gift in this world. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. You know what a wage is? It's something you earn. You go down to the plant, go down to where you work all week, and you work hard, and they give you that paycheck. That's not a benefit. A benefit's insurance. A benefit's vacation. Your salary is a wage. You have earned it. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God. But the gift of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not something you earn. It's a gift of God that you receive freely. If it's free, it's for me. Y'all believe like that? If it's free, it's for me, man. Salvation is free gift of God. It's unspeakable gift. God gave his son that we might have the gift of eternal life. You know, we say that sometimes and we understand and we're saved. But if we'll slow down for a minute and look at what all God got in return, man, he got the short end of that stick, didn't he? Look at me.
Thank you, Lord.
And the Bible says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. But yet the Bible commands us to speak about it.
That's it.
Now, there's no contradictions in the Bible. Why is it unspeakable? Words cannot fully express all there is to salvation.
No way.
I don't care who the man is.
No way.
Yeah, you're right.
They ain't even a woman preacher can put in words all that salvation is. And you know a woman can outtalk a man.
Yeah.
Ain't been a man can outtalk a woman. Paula White can't even put in words. The president's preacher. You can't put it into words. I don't care how eloquent that man is. I don't care what kind of command he has of the English language. And some people can really smack it down, man. I wish I could speak more clearly and plainly and use those big words and say them properly. I don't care how eloquent the man is. I don't care what kind of words he used. I don't care what kind of emotion he has behind it. He said, all he can say and all the words are said and all the words are out and all the words are done, it cannot measure up to the gift, what the gift really is. You can't put him into words.
You're right. Exactly right.
You know, that's why God has to convict, not the preacher.
That's it.
Thank God for a preacher. God, the Bible says God chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Preaching. Thank God for the preacher. But if the preacher preaches it up and that's all it is, somebody else is going to come right along and preach you out of it.
Yeah.
But when God takes the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection, and opens a person's eyes and opens their mind and opens their heart, and they see that gift and receive Jesus Christ by salvation, it's a done deal.
Yes, sir.
It's a done deal.
Thank you, Lord.
The gift. Jesus answered and said unto her, John 4:10, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. So many people don't understand that salvation is a gift.
Amen.
They think it must be earned.
Yep.
That you must get enough things right in your life. You ever heard anybody say that?
Oh, yeah.
I just have some things. I got a person in my mind right now. I'm thinking, there's some things I have to get right in my life before I can come to Jesus. And then they must do things to maintain it. We're going to talk about works in a little bit. You need to get some good works in your life if you ain't got none.
Yeah,
and get some of the trash out. But it all starts with salvation. And it is a free gift of God.
Yes, sir.
The death, burial, and resurrection, which we're going to celebrate Sunday, is the gospel. And faith in that is what saves a person's soul. It's a gift. It can't be earned. God sent His Son to be the gift. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift coming down from above, and that's the best one that's ever come down.
Yeah.
So death came from man, from Adam. Death came from the first Adam. But life came from the last Adam. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Let's look at this for a second. Romans chapter number 5. Death came because man sinned. That's why we're dying right now today, because of sin.
Amen.
It's killing you and it's killing me and it's killing them trees out there and it's killing the fish in the waters and it's killing the birds in the air. Sin cursed planet is what we live on.
Amen.
Look at Romans chapter 5. Look at verse number 16. The Bible says, and not as it was by one that sinned, so was the gift from judgment. Was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses and a justification. For by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more they which received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. Sin entered into the world by one man, Romans 5:12. And death came in because of that sin. But righteousness and eternal life came in by one man also. That Adam, that first Adam, our forefather, he sinned.
Yep.
And he passed it all down to you and I.
Right.
Every person is born a sinner by nature, and then they become a sinner by deed.
Yep.
We don't have to teach them to do wrong. They got that under control.
Right.
We have to teach them to do right. And death came about because of that sin. But thank God, God sent His Son, His only begotten Son. And He walked on this planet, and He never sinned. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He was the sinless Son of God. He was willing to hang on that cross and shed His blood and give His life that you and I might be saved.
Amen.
Sin and death entered in by the first Adam, but thank God for the last Adam. There won't be a need for another.
No way.
No more. There won't be a need for another. He was enough.
Amen.
He was enough.
Amen.
He's a crowd that don't believe He's enough.
Yep.
You think they have to heap their works on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are vain works. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
You can rot some things in this life.
Right.
You can earn some rewards in this life.
Right.
You can earn some crowns to give back to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're doing it to maintain your salvation, you just as well quit.
Yep. Exactly right.
It's vanity.
Yep.
It's what it is. I'm speaking about the gift. Adam to head of the human race. First man God made took a rib out of his side, made the woman. So when he sinned, death came upon all men. The seed is from the man, not the woman. Adam's curse fell upon all men. Jesus Christ paid for eternal life for as many as believe. Adam was the first man. Jesus Christ is God's first fruits under righteousness. Well, 1 Corinthians 15 says, turn there. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse number 22. It's just the resurrection chapter, right? 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 22. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15 and 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, the first fruits, afterwards, they that are Christ that is coming, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Adam was the first man. He sinned. Death came in because of that. But thank God for Jesus Christ. He was the first fruits unto righteousness. There were people before Jesus that were brought back to life.
Amen.
They were. They threw the man in tomb with Elisha's bones. Mm-hmm. So that man came back to life. There was power in them bones, wasn't there?
Yeah.
The widow of Nain's son, Jesus touched that buyer. That dude came back to life. Jairus' daughter, Jesus told her to rise. She had to get up. Didn't have any choice.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't have a say in the matter.
Yeah.
Lazarus, he was in that tomb.
Yep.
Jesus says, come forth, just as sure as the sun was going to go down that night, Lazarus was coming forth. He didn't have a say in it. But all these people, you know what they did? They all died again.
Amen.
Every one of them died again. Not Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When he came forth, God promised him eternal life, and all those that will believe on him, it is a free gift from God. He'll never die again. They'll never kill him again. They'll never hang him on a cross. They'll never shed his blood.
Amen.
He is alive forevermore, according to what the Bible says.
Amen.
And if you've trusted him for your salvation, that is the free gift of God. And guess what? You are going to live just as long as he does.
Amen.
That's a lifetime warranty.
Yeah.
Them lifetime warranties is a lie. They just are.
Yeah, right.
You call them, I got a lifetime warranty. Oh, we don't make them no more.
Yeah.
That'll happen to you. Yeah. Oh, we don't make that model no more. So your lifetime warranty is not a lifetime warranty.
Yeah.
But if you trusted Jesus Christ, you are going to live forever and ever and ever.
Yeah.
Because of the gift.
Amen.
Because of what he did. Not because of what we did. Because of what he did on that cross. And he was willing to pay the price. And he was willing to be that sacrifice.
Amen.
Isn't that a great gift?
Amen.
Man. People say, well, why does God allow evil to come in? Why did God allow sin to come into the world? I don't know that I got an answer for that, but I got another question. Why won't you take the cure for sin?
Right.
If you acknowledge that it's here and acknowledge there's a God, why won't you acknowledge the cure?
Right, that's good.
It's kind of stupid, isn't it? A lot of smart people are kind of stupid. But a gift is no good unless it's received.
That's right.
As many as received him. Him. Salvation is in a man. And if you receive that man, that's a penalty for your sins, and receive him by faith, you can receive that gift. It doesn't matter how great a gift is if you do not receive it. When Sandy puts it up under the tree, if you don't open it, it is not going to do you any good. Bring you any enjoyment, You know, that's what a gospel is. You know what the gospel is? The gospel is truth.
Yeah.
Romans chapter 1 says it's salvation.
Yeah.
And it's there. It's there for the taking. If God convicts your heart, you can receive it by faith tonight, tomorrow, 10 years down the road if he lets you live that long.
Amen.
But the Bible says we're not guaranteed another minute.
Amen.
That's the way the gospel is. It's there. It's available for whosoever will. John Calvin was a liar.
Yeah, amen.
I pretty much called everybody a liar tonight, ain't I? Maybe that's what the title of the sermon ought to be, a bunch of liars. If you don't receive the gift of Jesus Christ, it'll do you no good now or for eternity. A gift. Well, how do I know I've received a gift? You received the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be some changes in your life.
Right.
Well, I've never spoken in tongues. You're doing good there. You just hold on to that. Hold on to that. Turn to John chapter 15 with me. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. The gift. How do I know I've received the gift? Some things change in your life. Now, you can't go around measuring yourself, measure ourselves by ourselves, right? Because then we're going to find a standard and hold him up, and the standard is Jesus Christ.
Right.
But if you've been born again, some things should have changed in your life at some point.
Yes, sir. No doubt.
Look at John 15. Look at verse number 26. The Bible says, when the Comforter, that capital C, that's the Holy Spirit of God, is come, whom I send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. You know what happens when you get saved? Jesus gets real.
Amen.
Some people live like Jesus ain't real to them. I lived my life a long time. I knew some stuff about Jesus up here. He was an abstract thought. He wasn't real to me. What do you mean he wasn't real to you? Never affected anything in my life.
Right, brother.
Did what I wanted, lived like I wanted, handled myself like I wanted. I tell you quick about Jesus. I've argued people down that I was saved, knew about Jesus. I was lost as a golf ball in high weeds.
Mm-hmm.
These golfers know all about that.
Mm-hmm.
Go through three sleeves every time they play.
Yeah.
He wasn't real to me.
Right, bro.
When you get born again by the grace of God, Jesus will get real to you.
Yeah.
He'll get in your business.
Yeah.
He'll get in your thoughts. When you lay down at night, you be thinking about Jesus. When you get up in the morning, your mind's on Jesus. He'll get that in your heart. You know what he'll do? He'll break that old hard heart you got. He'll make tears come out of your eyes. You know what Jesus will do? Jesus, when he gets real, he'll get in your pocketbook.
Yeah,
ain't let nobody get in my pocketbook before I got saved, amen? He'll get in your pocketbook. When you get saved and you have the witness of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you, Jesus will get real.
Yes, he will.
You know what else? Turn to John chapter 16.
Mm-hmm.
Look at verse number 13. Bible says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, that capital S, Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. You know what happens when you get saved and the Holy Spirit comes to indwell? He'll start to lead and to guide you in the truth.
Amen.
Things will change in your life.
Yeah.
You'll start lining your life up by this Bible. You know why? Because
yeah.
You know for the first time in your life that it really and truly is God's words
yeah.
to mankind. Things will change in your life.
That's good, brother.
Well, I ain't never had none of that. You need to talk to somebody about that. And you can talk to me, and you can talk to the preacher, you can talk to whoever you want to, but the Lord's the one you need to talk to.
Amen.
If you've never had anything change in your life, if your wants and desires and heart and mind hadn't been changed, you need to do a checkup.
Amen.
Jesus Christ changes people.
Mm-hmm.
He changes hearts. He changes lives. There's no way around it. That sealing of the Holy Spirit, that's a seal that cannot be broken. It just can't. When you receive that gift, your soul is sealed by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 4, and that seal cannot be broken. So now I'm saved. So now what? God didn't take you home when He saved you. So obviously He's got some things that He wants you to do now that you have received the gift. Amen. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4 with me. 1 Peter chapter number 4. So now I'm saved. Born again by the grace of God. My heart and mind's all stirred up like it's never been before. So now what? Look at 1 Peter 4 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 10.
Amen.
The Bible says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
Amen.
If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of his ability which God giveth. That God, listen to this, in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We've been talking about receiving the gift, the best gift there ever is. But the Bible says it's better to give than to receive. You want to give a gift to God? Shouldn't that bring joy to us? Shouldn't that bring a smile to your face to know that you can give a gift to God? You know what the best gift you can give to God is? To live a godly life for Him and to minister to people.
That's right.
Through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Best gift you can give God is to live for Him. Allow Him to come into your heart. Allow Him to come into your life and allow Him to change your heart and your mind and your life like He wants to do.
Amen.
It's the best gift you can give God. It's to live for Him and to minister to others. You know, I was thinking about this as I was reading over this and preparing, and it's a sad fact that preachers and Sunday school teachers have to spend so much time on the doctrine of eternal salvation, eternal security to believers. And they have to do it because so many of God's people had named the name of Christ and were raised in church and had cause of salvation, professed it, and had cause of service and professed it, and claimed to be saved and played and sang and preached and have turned their back on God and are out in this old world living like the devil.
Yeah.
And we have to spend so much time because the devil will creep into God's people's minds and say, well, you know, maybe that ain't so. Maybe that's not so. Look at so-and-so. He used to preach. And look at him now. She used to sing, and look at her now. He'll creep into people's minds. That's a shame, ain't it? That people that name the name of Christ have received the gift, have turned their back on God, and are affecting God's people in a negative way. God help someone that drives people away from Jesus Christ.
Yes, amen.
God help them. I would hate to be a saved person and live like the devil in this world and stand before God one day about to enter into His glories and see the things that I had brought about other people's life through the wicked life that I lived.
Amen.
Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2. We just read this in our daily reading not long ago. Last couple of days, and it just stuck in my mind. You know, you read something 10 times or 15 times or 20 times, and that 21st time, God just sticks it in your heart. This is Samuel, Eli, his two sons, right? So they were wicked men. And they were doing all kind of wickedness, and they were supposed to be priests and taking care of God's business, and they were doing all kinds of unspeakable wickedness. Yeah. Look what it says about those two boys. Look at 1 Samuel 2, verse 17. The Bible says, "Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord." Yep. Those boys were so wicked, naming the name of God, and they caused people to abhor the offering, hate, despise the offerings of the Lord. Well, those people have an excuse. Men are without excuse. Yeah. But when you look at it, that's as good a reason as any, ain't it? You see someone that names the name of Christ, and they're living like the devil, and if they're saved, I'm saved. If he can live like that and drink like that and smoke like that and act like that and be saved and go home to heaven, he's no better than I am. People are living wickedly in this old world, and they're causing people to abhor the things of God. You want to give a gift to God, live for Him, man.
That's it.
Live for Him day, live for Him night, live for Him when you're at home, live for Him when you're at work, live for Him in your family, your marriage, your children, live for Him with your giving, live for Him with your witnessing, your ministering. That verse says the manifold grace of God. You know what a manifold does? It takes something from one place and moves it to a bunch of people. That's what a manifold on your car does, man. So you take that grace of God that God's given you, that gift, and you know what? You can spread that gift everywhere you go.
Yeah,
the best news this world's ever had, you have it, and you know it, and you understand it, and it dwells down inside of you. It lives inside your heart, and everywhere you go, you can take that gift, that grace of God, and spread it everywhere you go. Man!
Yeah, amen.
I like to give stuff away. I try to give money away when I got it, because I know I'm just going to blow it. Y'all probably ain't like it. Y'all probably save some money. I can't save no stinking money. I just try to give it away when I got it because I'm going to do something stupid with it. I'd rather give it to somebody else and get some rewards in heaven and see somebody else get some joy out of it. The grace of God, salvation, Jesus Christ, the greatest gift mankind's ever heard of or received. And you can take Him with you and give Him to everybody you meet. First Peter 3 and 15, the Bible says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Are you ready? That verse says, be ready always. That's even when somebody sneaks up on you. I go out sometimes and I'm prepared. I done got my tracks turned the right way. And I got the Spanish ones on one side of my little folder. And I got my English ones on the other side. And I got a lot of people covered like that. And I'm ready. Sometimes I ain't ready. I got things in my mind. I'm walking and I'm talking. And I'm probably grumbling and murmuring like them Israelites. And God ought to kill me, but He don't. And sometimes I just ain't ready. Be ready. Always, the Bible says. You know what God uses to get the good news out? Well, He uses the radio and He uses television. God uses men. That radio, if nobody ever puts anything on it, you know what it is. That Prince and Power there, he can just bounce around there all by himself. God uses men and women and children to get the good news out and to spread the unspeakable gift. How do we speak? 1 Peter 4:11 says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Do you know what you need to speak? This book right here, man.
Yep. Amen.
You know, the best thing you can do is tell somebody John 3:16 and give them your testimony of how God saved your soul and changed your life. Brother Doug Anderson, preaching down here in Cordova, he said the best evidence for an empty tomb is a changed life. The best evidence for an empty tomb is a changed life. God changed your life. Did He change your heart? Did He change your family? Did He change your desires? Did He change your wants and your wishes and your walk and your talk? Is your life better because of Jesus Christ? We ought to be telling people, haven't we?
Yes, sir.
Man, get a hole in one. Boy, you're going to hear it.
Yeah, right.
Ought to. I mean, that ain't skill. That's pure stinking luck. No skill involved in that. You hit it 5 feet from the hole every other par three. You know what? There's some skill involved in that. You hit it in that hole. That's dumb luck. Man, kill a big buck. You going to hear that? He going to have that thing in a special folder in his phone where them pictures of the kids and the grandkids don't get in the way. He can go straight to the big buck picture. Them ladies get something nice on their cry cut. They going to show that thing off, ain't they? They call it a cricket, but that thing spelled cry cut. They get a new dress. They going to act like they showing off. But y'all other ladies better acknowledge it. They going to be mad. We know we got to be humble. We got to be sneaky with our pride, man. Got my hair fixed, ain't even nobody say nothing about it. Be mad for a week. We'll tell people about some stuff, won't we? Things that we love. Children. Somebody talking to death about their children. They get teenagers get to raise in hell, you won't hear nothing about them. But when they good, man, and a grandchild talk you to death, we'll tell somebody about something that's good in their life, won't we? Ain't nothing wrong with that. Tell me about your grandkids, man. I listen. I listen. Tell me about your big buck. I ain't going to look at you ladies, nod your dresses, but the gift.
That's it,
bro. The gift, man. The best thing that's ever happened to you. And we can go out in this old world and minister to people. Eternal salvation.
Amen.
Thank God for the gift. Why do we teach John 3:16? That's without fail the first verse we're going to teach the children in. There's enough Bible in John 3:16 to save every soul on this planet right now if they receive it. That's why we teach it. Why do we memorize Scripture? Why do we memorize Scripture? I hope you memorize Scripture. Try to. Why do the children memorize Scripture? Because when nothing else in this world can help you, Scripture can.
That's right.
When your heart's broken and your bestie has done hugged you and loved on you and texted you 19 times today, and she can't help your heart, the Scripture can.
That's right.
When your heart's broken and you put somebody in the ground or somebody's walked off from you and got out in this old world and your heart's broken and you're torn apart and there's nothing anybody else can say to help you, the Scripture can.
Right. Amen.
That's why we preach. That's why we tell people about this book. That's why we tell people about Jesus Christ, the gift. Because when nobody else can help, He can.
Amen.
We should be thankful for the gift of God. Mm-hmm. The best way to show God gratitude for that gift is to live for Him and tell somebody else about that gift.
Amen, brother.
It's the best way. Mm-hmm. You want to please God. Mm-hmm. You want to put a smile on God's face.
Mm-hmm.
Tell Him about His Son.
Yes, sir.
Don't tell them about who's in the Final Four. Don't tell them about what you got. Tell them about His Son.
You know,
God's into His Son.
Yes, He is.
He is into His Son. Before me and before you and before anything else in this old world, God is in. God thinks much of the Son. It's a gift. And you have the responsibility and the ability and the privilege to tell people about Jesus Christ and tell them how to make heaven their eternal home. That's the gift. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe you want to come pray. Take a minute. Altars are open. Maybe you just want to come thank the Lord.